The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Re'ei. The beginning of Parashas Re'ei. It states, Rei Anechi Nesen Lifnechem Hayayim Brocha Uklolo. You shall see that I am placing before you today Brocha, blessing, Uklolo, and curse. Esa Brocha Asher Tishmol Mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem Asher Anechi Mitzvah Eschem Hayom. The blessing, that is if you will listen to the Mitzvah of Hashem, which I am commanding you today. Haklolo, and the curse, if you will not listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, and you shall turn away from the way which I have commanded you today, to go after gods of others which you do not know. And then the Torah tells us, they were now standing on to the west of the Yarden, the west of the Jordan River. It was near the end of the 40 years. When you will go into the land which I have commanded you to inherit, there will be two mountains there, Grizim and Evel, and some will go up on Har Grizim and others will go up on Har Evel. And there the brochas will be pronounced, and they will turn towards Har Grizim, and the klala, the curses will be pronounced, and they will turn towards Har Evel. Aleheima be'ever ayadin achrei derech mevei hashemesh beretz haknani ayeshiv barova. And this is in the ever ayadin, the other side of the Yarden of the Jordan, towards the sun setting westward in Eretz Haknani and Eretz Yisrael, mul hagilgul etzel elenei meireh. So the Torah is telling us here that you should know, Re'eh, Chazi, you should know that I am placing before you today Brocha Uklolo. Mitzv, Brocha, blessing, Asher Tishmal Mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem. That is dependent on if you will do the Mitzvah of Hashem. Klolo, curses, that's dependent in Leishishma Mitzvah Hashem, if you will not listen to the Mitzvah of Hashem. Now we learn two principles from here. One principle is the principle of Bechira, free choice. That it is up to you whether you want to do the Mitzvah or whether you don't want to do the Mitzvah. This is not something which is dependent on other destinies, but this is all in your hands. Because if it wasn't in your hands, then it's not possible for Moshe or for the Almighty to instruct the people that here are mitzvahs and here are avedas and here is blessing and here is curses. This principle we've gone into before, so we won't go into it this evening. Second principle we hear from here, that brocha is dependent on mitzvahs, and klala, heaven forbid, curses, is dependent on salta min haderech, turning away from mitzvahs. This is what the Torah clearly tells us. Rashi says, Almanasa Shetishmo, Esa Brocha, blessing is conditional with the doing of mitzvahs. Klala, curses, that's conditional with the turning away from mitzvahs. This, seemingly, is a very simple principle. It's very simple. But actually, it is not so simple. And this is one of the great foundations of the Torah and of this world. Because a great many of the nations of the world throughout history of time perhaps even a majority of nations of the world, do not accept this principle. Refused to recognize that blessing that will come to them is dependent if they do what's right in the eyes of the Almighty. And the opposite of blessing, curses, is dependent if they will do what's wrong in the eyes of the Almighty. The Ramban brings at the end of Parshas Bo he says, Mimei Enosh, from the time of Enosh already. This was in the early generations of the world. Hechelo Adeus Lishtabish Bemuna. And already ideologies became confused, and Avodah Zorah, idolatry, came into the world. Mehem Kefrim Be'ikar. Some of the nations of the peoples were kafirim bi'ikar. They denied that there is a creator at all. The Amin ke'elam kadmein, koch shu ba'ashem v'yemnu lehu mehem lehu. And they said that the world was not created, it always existed, and there is no creator. U'mehem achishim yediyas aprotis. There were others that believed that the world was created and there was a force that created it, but they denied that the Almighty, that this force, knew what is going on in this world. U'machishim b'yediyose ha'protis v'omru echo yoda kel v'yesh del be'elyon. And they said, the Almighty doesn't know what we do. He's not on this world. Umeham, and there were those Shiodeus that they understood that the Almighty knows exactly what goes on in this world. Umashkishim Bashkoho. But they denied that the Almighty, they denied the Almighty's supervision of this world. The Yasu Odim Kidege Hayom Shalayashkiach Hokel Behem. And they believed that man in this world is like the fish of the sea, where there is no particular individual supervision. The Aini Mohem Aini Shushar. And there is no reward for doing good, and there is no punishment for doing evil. The only Ozva Hashem Eso Oretz. They said that Hashem has forsaken this land. So what does he say? That in early generations yet, when ideologies were becoming confused, and Avodah Zorah, idolatry, came to the world, there were those people, those nations, that denied the existence of the Almighty totally. There was never a God, and he never created the world. The world always existed. There were those who admitted that there was a God and he created the world, but he doesn't know what's going on here. Doesn't know what's going on. There were those who agreed that he does know what's going on, but they were machish bashkochosoi, but they said that he doesn't supervise the world individually. But man is like the Gehayom. Man is like the fish of the sea. He does as he pleases, and there is no schar ve'enish, that if a person does good, he necessarily does not receive reward. If he does evil, he does not necessarily receive punishment. This is how the world was then. It is not, it has not become improved during the generations that much. So this is how the world has been throughout history. And from this we can understand why there is so much evil and destruction in the world. We live in a world where of Geneva Vixela, of theft, of Ritzicha v'Achzorius, of murder and cruelty, of Zanus, of all types of adultery and incest, of Te'evas, of all types of abominations, of war and destruction. We live in a world of war and destruction. There's not, I don't know if there's a year that has gone by in a long, long time that some part of the world hasn't been at war. And a person can ask, how, why? Why is all of this? Now it is true that many avodas, many transactions are committed by people who perhaps know what's right and wrong and realize perhaps that they will have to pay for their deeds, but they cannot be emet keneged yitzrom. They cannot discipline themselves against their desires. The desires for money, the desires for power, and so forth. But it's more likely that a great number, if not majority, of people that do evil is not for that reason, but they are convinced that they will not have to give din v'cheshbon. They will not be responsible for their acts. They can do what's good for themselves, even though it might be at the cost of a million lives, or 6 million lives, or hundreds of thousands of people. And there is no one that can tell them differently, and there's no one they're responsible to. And this is what the Ramban is speaking about. Yesh mehem, there are those who are kefir bashkochas Hashem. But they say that man is kedegei hayom, he's like the fish of the high seas, where there is no supervision on every individual and every individual act, that he's going to be rewarded accordingly or punished accordingly. And this explains to us, many times we wonder, how is it possible that there can be so much evil in the world? So much cruelty, so much bloodshed. And this would be the reason. And now the Torah is telling us, Re'eh. Moshe tells the people, see very clearly, this is not the case. Nechi neisei nifneichem hayom, I place before you brocha uklalo, what is good, blessing, and what is bad, curses. Blessing will come to you asher tishmu al mitzvah Hashem. By listening to the mitzvahs of Hashem and doing them, you will be rewarded. Im lei tishmu, if you will not listen to them, you will also receive retribution. It will be klalo. And there is no other way. There is no possible way that you will receive blessings by not listening to Hashem, or you will receive klola by doing what's right in the eyes of Hashem. The Ramban continues. It's a very long Ramban. And the Ramban continues at the end, where he says as follows. Ein lo odem chelik v'teris meisher Rabbeinu. A Jew has to know that he does not have a portion in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu until we believe that everything that will happen to us, everything that happens to us, that comes to us, if it's good or it's not good, kulam nisim, these are all miracles, not tivius. It's not merely the work of nature, but all miracles. Ein behem teva uminhogei shel olam. All things that come to us in the sphere of reward or retribution. A Jew has to believe these are all miracles. This is not natural or merely the course of world events. Whether we're speaking about the nation as a whole, whether we're speaking about Israel and Eretz Israel, or Yochid, or we're speaking about the individual in his life. But they are not dependent on natural forces. They are not dependent on mazeles, on mazel. They are not dependent on superstitions, or they are not dependent on mikra, on mere happenings or coincidence. But they are only dependent on this principle. Im yaseh ha-mitzvah yatzlichenu schore. That if we do mitzvahs, then we have to be paid reward for them. Im yavar aleihem, if we do not do the mitzvahs, yachrisenu onshei. Then there must be retribution for it. Hakol b'gzeiris elyon. All in accordance to the decree of the Almighty. What is the Ramban saying? He's saying, we're not referring to things that a person brings upon himself. If a person does something to himself, does something bad to himself, either with intent or through negligence, that he cannot hang on Almighty or a mitzvah. For example, a person injures himself purposely or through negligence, or a person doesn't take care of his health and he becomes sick. He walks in front of a car, or he drives recklessly and something happens. Drives recklessly, driving over the speed limit, and he gets chas v'sholom involved in an accident. And he comes and says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to me? This is nonsense. Right? This is the same thing as a person taking a knife, stabbing himself, and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you do it to me? Or if a person squanders his money, he's given a lot of money, and he's negligent with it. Or he takes it to Sun City to gamble with. And he loses and he comes, why did I deserve such a thing? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing me? Or let's say a person, through negligence and irresponsibility, ruins his name. Comes and gets himself a job, a responsible position in a bank or in a corporation, and he doesn't show up sometimes, and he comes late and he drinks and so forth and so on. He ruins his name and he ruins his career. He says, I had bad mazel. Or why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing me? Now this is totally nonsense. Because we see clearly in the Torah and in the Chazal that permission was granted to a person even to destroy himself. If he wants, he can destroy himself with his own hands. And certainly he can destroy his possessions with his own hands. He can destroy his reputation with his own hands. And so forth. If he does that, he has no one to talk to except himself. This is not what we're speaking about. We are speaking about when something happens to a person which is not directly from his acts. A person acts very responsibly. Not negligent. He's driving very carefully, and heaven forbid an accident happens. He's involved in an accident. Then he must ask, why did this happen to me? Driving 150 kilometers an hour, he doesn't have to ask why it happened to him. Okay? But if he's driving within the speed limit very carefully, and he's involved in an accident, then he must ask, why did it happen to him? If he guards his health, he becomes sick. Must ask. If he works very hard, he's responsible, he's diligent, and he doesn't see fruits, You must ask. The same thing from the other aspect. If something good comes upon him, which doesn't have to. For example, he guards his health and he's very healthy. There are many people in the world who guard their health and they're not zecher. They don't give him good health. Then that's a brocha. Or a person works very hard, very diligently, and he becomes wealthy. That's a brocha. Because you got millions of people that work very hard, very diligently, and they don't become wealthy. Doesn't have to be. Or a person who gets married, finds a good wife, gets married, and he has good children. That's a brocha. Because there are many, many people who get married. They might not find a good wife. Or even if they do find a good wife, they might not have children. Or even if they do have children, they might not have good children. Good, healthy children. Or a person who learns. He learns Torah. Works very, very hard and learns Torah. And he's successful in Torah. That's a brocha. Because there are many who study very hard and do not see success in Torah. Elef nichnes vechad yetze. 1,000 go into the Beis HaMedrash and one comes out successful in Torah. Yetze lehero. The Medrash tells us. So this is what we're speaking about. That when good things happen to a person that did not have to happen to him, even though he worked for it, but it's not a natural absolute axiom that it must happen, then that's a brocha. And when, heaven forbid, affliction comes upon a person, bad things come upon a person, that would seemingly be a klola. This is what we're referring to. And this most of the world will feel either it's keichei ve'etzim yodi, it's my own talents that have achieved this, it's my own brains that have achieved this, it's my abilities, or it's my mazel, my luck, I was lucky, or some other force, or I was unlucky, other forces. That's not the case. It's not the case at all. Hine re'eh, you should know. Anechi nesein livnechem hayom. When it comes to brocha, when it comes to real brocha and real klolo, there are only two sources for it. If you do what is right and what is commanded of you, then you will have brocha. Now this is not an option. This is an absolute axiom. You must have brocha. If you turn away from the mitzvahs of Hashem, then there must be klola. This is an axiom. If the Rishi Elam, the Hitlers of the world, would have seen this, would have understood this, they never would have done what they did. Because for every inch of wrong that they did, they will pay 1,000-fold. And this is what the Ramban tells us, that this is a great principle. And a person who does not believe in this, he doesn't have a chelik in Teiris Meisha. Then he has no portion in the Torah of Meisha Rabbeinu. Because this is the foundation of the Torah of Meisha Rabbeinu. Of what mitzvahs and aveiros are all about. And this a Jew has to believe. That whatever comes his way, in the way of something that's good or something that's not good, we have to be able to define it properly. Not everything that looks good might be good, and not everything that doesn't look good might not be good. We'll speak about that soon. But everything that comes a person's way, in the way of good and not good, kulam nisim hem, they are all miracles, he says. What does he mean, miracles? Ein beteva. It's not natural events, or min hoge shalaylum, or just through the course of history, or the course of events. Doesn't happen to a person because he's living in a certain historical era. But kulam nisim hem, these are all the miracles of Hashem. Im yaseh mitzvah, if he does mitzvah, then he will get tov. And if he does aveira yachrisena onshe, he will get heaven, forbid the other. And he adds, bein berabin bein biyochid. This is true by the individual in his life, and this is true by the life of the nation, every nation, in particular, Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. That it's only dependent on mitzvahs and aveiros. So we see that we're not dealing with such a simple principle like we make it out to be. But this is something which goes very, very deep and is very more than relevant. It's part and parcel of human living. Because of this reason, the Torah consistently drives this fact home. Except sometimes we listen to it, but we don't hear it. We don't digest it. But the Torah consistently drives this fact home. The whole Torah is this. What is the whole Torah? The whole Torah is a relation, is relating to us the reward for those who did the will of the Almighty and the punishment for those who did not do His will. For example, Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made one of the greatest miracles the world ever saw. Well, he brought a flood into the entire world and he saved Noach and his family. So Noach Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, it states, Vayemar Hashem leNoach, Bei Atov, V'chol B'Yisrael al HaTeva. He told Noach and his family, go you and your entire household, go into the boat. Ki oschari isi tzadik lefonai bedor hazeh. Why? Because only you have I seen to be righteous in this generation. What's the Torah telling us? Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chazal say Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly wants to publicize this. He wants to publicize that those who do his will receive great reward. And those who do not do his will receive punishment. And therefore he didn't keep it a secret while he saved Noah. He told the world, go into the boat, you alone together with your family will be saved from the whole world. Why? Because Oskara Isi, only you have I seen to be tzaddik lefonai, righteous before me in this generation. We see this by Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov. Consistently. They were heaped with blessings and brachas. Some brachas were for this world. Some brachas were for the next world. Some brachas were for themselves. Some brachas were for their children. But they were heaped with blessings upon blessings. And each time it states why. Ekev asher shomar. Because you have guarded my mitzvahs. Because you alone are your elokim oto. because you have feared me. We see the contrary by the Rishoy. Paroi said, who is this God? There is no God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed him from the face of the world, Paroi and his whole nation, to let us know what retribution is for evil. Not only do we find this principle by tzaddikim and rishayim, by the righteous and the wicked, but even by his most righteous, by the most righteous of all people, the Almighty was very, very exact and explicit to let us know what their retribution was when they didn't do his will. One of his greatest righteous servants was Miriam. Miriam did an Aveira of Lashon Hara. Kodesh Baruch Hu told the world. She did an Aveira, she didn't do the mitzvah. She was punished with leprosy. And he elaborated in his Torah for the whole world. Zohar, you shall always remember. Who was a greater prophet than Moshe? Or Aaron? Asher dibe b'Hashem ponim b'ponim, that spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. Yet consistently the Almighty wrote, Yana she'le'amantim bi, because you did not trust in me. The trust you should have had when it came to smiting the stone, speaking to the stone. You shall not cross this river. You shall not go into Eretz Yisrael, but die here in the desert. This is what he told Moshe and Aaron in the Torah. He didn't conceal it. When the Maraglim, the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert, was one of the greatest generations that ever lived, the generation that received the Torah. Yet when they did not fulfill the will of Hashem, they were punished. But they weren't punished secretly. It was recorded forever in the Torah that they shall, because they were made tzidibas oritz, they slandered the land, they shall die in Eretz, in the desert. And only their children will go into Eretz Yisrael. Consistently throughout the whole Torah and the whole Tanakh, we see the elaboration and the recording of this principle, both by the righteous and the evil, and even by the righteous themselves, if they did not fulfill what they were supposed to. There's a pasuk in Kehelis, Yud Aleph Tes. The pasuk states, Smach bocher b'yalduseho. Young man, rejoice because of your youth. And then the pasuk ends b'do ki al kol eile yivi'acho alekim b'mishpot. But you shall know that everything that is done will be brought to Hashem for judgment. The Rambam in Perikei of Tshuva Alocha Dalid explains, we can understand what is meant, that everything that is done shall be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for judgment. But what does it mean, smach bocha b'yaldusecha? Young man, rejoice in your youth. Because of the principle that we just said, some people might be depressed. A person might think, look, if every time I do something wrong, there's going to be retribution for it. Heaven forbid, klola, and nothing goes by unnoticed. A person might be depressed. No. That's a reason for rejoicing. Why? And this, the Rambam says, Da shiyesh biyotcha keach lasis. Because your future is in your hands. Da shiyesh bekeach, Your future is in your hands. People go around depressed because they feel I can make nothing of myself. I have a bad mazel. I have a bad luck. Everything's against me. I wasn't born under the right stars. I wasn't born at the right time. I wasn't born in the right place or to the right people. Whatever it might be. I was born in bad times. I was born in a bad place. What did I have to be born in South Africa for? I could be born in America. Or in Canada. And look, what can I do with my life? This is the greatest cause. If not the greatest, this is certainly a very, very great cause of depression. When a person feels, what can he do with himself? What can he do with his life? The odds are against me. I can't fight a world. I'm born into a world which is torn with war and strife and theft and inflation and revolution and everything else. And that Shlomo HaMelech said, King Solomon said, "Bechokhmos, in his wisdom, smach bocher beyaldusecho." Young man, while you're young yet, your life is ahead of you. Smach bocher beyaldusecho. Rejoice in your youth. Because all of these other cheshbainis, this is narishkeit, this is nonsense. There's only one person that's going to make your life, and there's only one person that's going to make your future, and that's you yourself. You yourself. And all of these other elements mean nothing. If you will study biographies of great men who have achieved, great achievers, certainly in the world of Torah, but even in the secular world, you will be amazed at the poor and even bad, many times cruel situations that they were born in, that they had to work from. The Rambam, he was a refugee all of his life. He was a fugitive. He had to run from land to land. In fact, as many times he couldn't run away from a land because he was forced to be the king's physician. The Rabban, and so forth and so on. And you see that all of these elements and circumstances that people are born into really don't seem to be the formula for success. We always speak about formula for success. Probably the greatest truth is success has no formula. Success has no formula. When it comes to all of these surrounding elements and situations, there have been wealthy people who have been successful, there have been wealthy people who have failed, there have been poor people who have successful and poor people who have failed. People with good health succeeded and people with poor health succeeded. Vice versa. Formula for success, of true success, is what Shlomo HaMelech said. Smach bocher beyaldusecho. Young man, rejoice. There's nothing to be depressed about. Because nobody's in control of your life and nobody's against you. Your future and what happens to you is dependent only on you. Da, you shall know, shaki al kol eile yovelakim b'mishpot. Everything you do will come to Hashem for judgment. If it's good, He will give you brocha. Nakodesh brocha is unending. Real brocha, though, again, not everything that a Cadillac or a Mercedes is not necessarily a brocha in the eyes of the Almighty. He will give you bracha. if what you do is not good, not right in the eyes of the Almighty, He will give you retribution for it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishpat, His judgment. The Chazal tell us is Omuk Omuk Meod, very, very deep, where not one act of any kind goes by unnoticed. Ani Hashem Ne'eman L'Shalim. If you come to work for a person, he asks the person, look, how much will you pay me? He says, don't worry, I'll take care of you, I'll fix you up. Right, then you know there's something to be cautious about. I am worried, tell me how much you're going to pay me. See? Don't go into deals like that. But when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Ani Hashem Ne'eman L'Shalem, you can trust me to pay, then you can trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll give an example. When Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, it states Lo Yachratz Kelev L'Shaino. A dog didn't bark. Even though millions of people were going out of Egypt, not one dog barked. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, because the dogs had their heretz, they had respect for Klal Yisrael and for Moshe Rabbeinu, then I must give reward to them. So he wrote in the Torah forever that if you shecht an animal and it's a treifa, you can't eat it. L'kelev sashlich, they say. Don't give it to the other animals. It's a mitzvah to give it to the dog first. L'kelev sashlich, they say. As reward because they didn't bark. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar shel shum berio. And this the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not impinge on the reward of any of his creations, and how much more so on man himself. For example, we see the Gemara brings, we mentioned these cases, Gemara brings on Bullock. Bullock wanted to get Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. But while doing so, he built 7 altars, 7 mizbaches, to Hashem. Gemara asks, why was Bullock zeicher to a descendant like Rus? Mizbach had to pay him. He built 7 altars to Hashem, and even though he was a Rasha, he was a wicked person, he had to repay him. So he was zeicher to have a descendant like Rus. Eglon, who was the son of Bullock, when Ehud came to him and he said, Dvar Seiseli Im HaMelech, he says, I have something to tell you of great import and secret from the Almighty. Eglon, who was a great Rosh, an oppressor of Klal Yisrael, he stood from his throne. He says, you have something to tell me from the Almighty, I must stand up. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you got up from your throne for my honor. Even though you're a great Rosho, Chayk Chakakti Bibriya, I have established a Chayk. I have established a statute in the world that cannot be changed. That good must be repaid with good. If you stood up from your throne to give me honor, I have to stand up from my throne to give you honor. And it's for that reason that Rus was a descendant of his, and later Shlaima HaMelech, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Shlaima HaMelech is sitting in Al-Kisei Hashem on the throne of the Almighty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared his throne with Shlaima HaMelech. How did Eglon be zeicher to a descendant that would share HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne? Because he shared his throne with the Almighty when he got up. Because Eglon shared his throne with the Almighty when he got up. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to pay him for? He was a Rasha. Ehud had come to kill him, to assassinate him, because he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. Because it's a statute in the Bria that if someone does good, it will bring Bracha. If he does not do the Ritzayin Hashem, the will of the Hashem, it will bring a curse. It will bring retribution. And all of the Mishnah tells us in the Masechta Seita that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to people, he gives them Mida Keneged Mida, in the same way that they gave. One of the reasons for this is in order that a person can understand why and where is this coming from. This means a person has to study all of the time what's happening to himself. What's happening to himself? If affliction is coming on a person, he has to ask himself why. Mara says, Imadim Ray Yesurim Boyanov. Yifashbesh B'maisov. He has to start analyzing his acts. Perhaps he's doing something wrong, and that's why the affliction is coming to him. Now, how's he going to understand what he's doing? Because he must examine acts which are similar to the affliction. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made la'odom, b'derek she'made lay. He gives to the person in the way the person gives, for him to understand why it's coming upon him. Now, we mentioned before, not all affliction is necessary klol, is necessary a retribution. Mona says he must examine. If he can find what he's doing wrong, oh, now he's come to the cause. Just like a doctor, a person who's having problems in health, try to find the cause. If he can find the cause, then he can remove it. So then he must correct the cause. What happens if he cannot? So the Gemara says, then perhaps, Yitl b'bitl teira. Perhaps he's not studying enough Torah. Then the Gemara says, but what happens if he's studying all the possible Torah he can, and still he's being afflicted? Or then the Gemara says, b'yadua she'em yisurim shalava. Then they're not affliction. Many times affliction comes to us not because it's something bad, it's something good. For example, you can afflict a child to direct him. A trainer will afflict an athlete. He will train an athlete. He will work an athlete to bring the best out in him. Many times it's directions to us. If a person thinks back in his past, he'll find that sometimes through the most difficult periods of his life is when he gained the most. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on Avraham Asor Nishenes. 10 great challenges and afflictions HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on Avraham, not as a retribution, but in order, at least nasis, in order to make him great. The same thing with Baruch. Just like we're obligated to study when we see things, difficulties coming upon ourselves, we're also obligated to study when we see good things come upon ourselves. Good things happen to a person, he should ask himself why. Why? Because if he can find out why, so then he'll know what he's doing is right and he'll continue to do it. He'll even be doing more. For example, a person gives a little tzedakah, or he helped out a poor person, or there was an almana, a widow, or an orphan, and he helped him out. All of a sudden he was successful in business. If he closes his eyes to it, then he's not recognizing the miracles of Hashem. He must ask, why was he successful? He didn't have to be successful. He makes many, many business deals and they're not all successful. And then he must relate the two. And from there he learns that this was a reward, a brocha, for doing the Ritzayin Hashem. So he learns how to direct himself. But just like you must define affliction properly, you must define brocha properly also. If he sees that he's doing good things, and brocha is coming to him, that's brocha. The Gemara says that if a person sees good things coming to him and he's not doing anything good, that's a danger signal. That's a danger signal. Because sometimes, by the evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay them off in this world for the few things they did good, in order that he shouldn't have to deal with them in the next world. Or, sometimes it could be temptation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing something to a person for temptation. Many times good things come to us, but they're not good. So at any rate, it must be properly defined, but the underlying principle is that we must study. We must study what happens to us. And this is why it's brought midah keneged midah. Now, it's for this reason that we can explain, as a Mishnah Masechta Avos, the Mishnah Masechta Avos in Perek Daled, Mishnah Beis, states, Ben Azi says, Schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar avera avera. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and the reward of an avera is an avera. Now, there are many interpretations in this. But one of the interpretations can be, and this is something which is very profound, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah means that in the mitzvah itself is encompassed a wonderful reward. And schar avera avera, to the contrary, the reward of an avera, if you desecrate a mitzvah, is encompassed in the desecration itself. Now what do we mean by this? Many times a person is confronted with a mitzvah. He has the opportunity to do a great mitzvah. A small mitzvah, a great mitzvah. All of them are great. But it's very difficult for him to do it. It's difficult. It's difficult. It's going to cost him money, or he's tired, it's going to cost him effort or energy, or he's busy, or whatever it might be. He should know that that mitzvah carries such a reward, but that reward is wrapped up in the mitzvah itself. And therefore he should be very careful before he bypasses it. What he thinks he's going to be gained by not doing the mitzvah, he's very wrong. Because he can gain 1,000 times more by doing the mitzvah, because in that mitzvah there's an enormous reward, wrapped up right in the mitzvah itself. Same thing by an avera. A person is tempted with a tremendous avera. He has an avera where he can make 100,000 rand. That's a shady deal. Or he's tempted to eat something that he shouldn't eat. Or he's tempted to say some lashon hara that he shouldn't say. Or he's tempted with some other desire. And it's pleasurable. And it's good. And it's difficult to go away from it. He should realize that as difficult it is to go away from it, the real difficulty will be in doing it. Because wrapped up in that avera is such a retribution that can create 1,000 times more difficulty for him. This is what a Chazal tells us, having mechashiv schar mitzvah keneged hefsir avera. Person must always take a cheshbon. The reward of doing the mitzvah against the loss of the avera, or the reward he'll get for the avera that he thinks he's going to get for the avera, against the loss that he'll do. Now, I'll give you a few examples on this. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef became one of the most successful people in the world. Fact is, he was referred to by the sages as a Baal Brocha. A Baal Brocha. From nothing, he became the king of Egypt, the viceroy to the most powerful monarch. Egypt ruled the world at that time because of the famine. And he became the wealthiest man on earth because he was malakit kol kesem. The Gemara says all of the gold and the silver of the world he gathered up. So he was the Baal Brocha. Now, what was the key? Let's examine this. What was the key that brought him to the success? What was his formula that brought him to success? Because he was a chelem chalemis, because he was a mafater chalemis, because he could interpret dreams. He interpreted Paro's dreams. Harbe mafater chalemis. There are millions of people that interpret dreams and never ended up like Yosef. Millions. The formula to his success was that he got an audience with the king. You know, if someone would want to see the prime minister, it wouldn't be so easy to go in and see him, especially if he was in a dungeon. Someone wanted to see President Reagan or the Tsar of Russia, Ahasuerus, who was an all-powerful monarch, would never even speak to Esther, his own queen, directly, until he found out that she was from royalty. She was a descendant of Shaul HaMelech. This is what absolute monarchy was. He would not speak to his own queen directly until he found out she was from royalty. The sage is Thomas. So the great, unbelievable miracle is how someone from the dungeon can get an audience with the all-powerful Parai. Now, how did this happen? This happened through a contact that he had in the dungeon. When he was in the dungeon, there was a butler there, and he interpreted his dream, and it was successful, and the butler was given back his position by the king, and then the butler was around to tell them that, I know someone that can interpret the dream. How did Yosef make that contact? Contacts are important in life. How did he make that contact? Now, he was tempted by the wife of Potiphar. He was given a tremendous temptation by the wife of Potiphar. Had he yielded to that temptation, he would have had wonderful pleasure. He would have had wealth. She would have given him wealth. He would have had power. Everything he needed. He was a slave. He would have had everything he needed. So seemingly, if he would have done the Aveda, he would have had everything he needed. He would have had wealth, power, pleasure. By running away from the Aveda, seemingly, by doing the mitzvah, he gets nothing. He loses his wealth. He loses that power. He loses that pleasure. He did the mitzvah. He ran away from her. What was encompassed in that mitzvah? That mitzvah caused him to be thrown into the dungeon. By doing that mitzvah caused him to be thrown into the dungeon. It caused him to become a friend of the butler, which caused his audience with Pare, which brought him thousands and thousands of times of more fame, more pleasures, and more wealth. Had he done the Aveda, he would have gotten a little power and pleasure. But he would have lost the whole world. He gave up the Aveda and he did the mitzvah. And all of this was encompassed in the mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. That when a mitzvah confronts you, don't look at it lightly. You think it might cost you a little money, it might cost you a little effort, it might be difficult. You don't know what's encompassed in that mitzvah. Encompassed in that mitzvah was all the fame and the power that Yosef was zeichet to. That's one example. We can give another example. We've given this before. Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda was confronted. Tamar, his daughter-in-law, was pregnant, and they wanted to burn her. And she said, she sent out a staff and a signet ring and a cloak, and she said that whoever these belong to, he is the father. She was carrying twins. He's the father of these twins. Yehuda didn't know what to do. Yehuda realized that he was the father. To admit this seemingly would destroy him, because he would be involved in a scandal which would cost him his future. Yehuda was the shefet, he was the leader, he was the judge, and from Yehuda was destined to come royalty of Klal Yisrael. To be involved in such a scandal, this would cost him his future. So therefore, he should not admit. But that's an Aveira. So it would seem that from the Aveira, he would gain, that was the only way he could gain his future of royalty. The mitzvah was to admit that you are guilty and she is righteous. What would he gain from it? Seemingly nothing. He'd lose his job, he'd lose his position, he'd lose his future, his royalty. He'd gain nothing from it. See, here from the Aveira, he would gain everything. From the mitzvah, he would gain nothing. Yehuda said, "Sot could be many." He says, I am prepared to sacrifice everything that I have in order to do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. Forget about my future and forget about my royalty. What royalty? From him was supposed to come David HaMelech and the Melech HaMashiach. Forget about that. I cannot do the Aveira. I must do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. Sot could be many. She is righteous. I am guilty. It's from me. So he did the mitzvah. What did that mitzvah encompass? He didn't know this. But that mitzvah encompassed his royalty. That mitzvah encompassed David HaMelech and the Melech HaMashiach. Because she was carrying Peretz. One of the twins she was carrying was Peretz. And from Peretz came David. And from David came Shlema and the Melech HaMashiach. Had he done the Aveira and he thought he would save his future in royalty, and then they would have burnt Tamar, he would have destroyed his future in royalty. The Aveira would have brought Schar Aveira, Aveira. The reward for this Aveira would have been the Aveira itself. You want to do Aveira, you should know the Aveira is carrying the retribution. You want to save your future and your fame on someone else's back, the Aveira will destroy your future. She would have been burnt, and with his own hands he would have destroyed all of his future. Instead, he went to fulfill the mitzvah that she is righteous and I am guilty. The mitzvah said that mitzvah will bring you all of the bracha in the world. So she was freed, and from here she had the descendants which came out the Malchus of Yehuda. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. And one final point. We've also brought this by Boaz. Boaz was confronted with Ruth. She was slandered that she's from a daughter of a nation, Moabi. And he was pressured, how can you take such a woman into your family? How can you marry such a family? Such a woman from such a family? So, protected, and he again was the judge, and he also was from the lineage of royalty. But the mitzvah, the right thing to do in the eyes of Hashem, is because she was so enormous in chesed, and the chesed that she did for Naomi and the chesed that she did for Boaz, that he should take her. But if he takes her, he might ruin his future and he might ruin his lineage. Had he chosen the Aveira and not taken her, and the grounds to protect his lineage and his future. Scaravera Avera, the Avera would have killed him. Because he didn't know it, but his future was wrapped up in Rus. And he would have lost his future. Instead, he chose the mitzvah. How difficult it was. He put his public reputation on the line, to the point where generations later they were still slandering Dovid HaMelech. But it took the tremendous Gvuras Hari, the strength of a lion, to do what was right and not what was popular. And he chose the mitzvah. He said, I must do what's right. I must not look at popular opinion, and I must not look at what's good for me. I must do what's right. Little did he know that in this mitzvah was the best thing in the world for him. Because Rus had in her the potential to give birth to the grandfather of Dovid HaMelech. And by taking Rus, he secured his future royalty and his lineage and the Melech HaMashiach. So we see, not only is there retribution for not listening to Hashem and Barucha for listening, but many times it's right in the Avera and right in the Mitzvah. Schar Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Schar Avera, Avera. So this is the principle that the Torah is teaching us. That Moshe tells the people that are, hey, look, you must know this very clearly. Anechi naisen nifnechem hayom Barucha uklolo. Placing before you blessings and curses. But you shouldn't think, everyone knows in the world there are blessings, in the world there are curses. But don't be confused to think that it's a matter of luck or mazel or chance. No. Es habrocha asher tishmel mitzvos Hashem Elokecha. It's in your hands only. If you do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands, if you do what's right, there will be brocha. Not there can be brocha. No. There will be brocha. Every act which you do, no matter how small, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you. Or he pays you in this world, the next world, whatever, that's his cheshbonus, but he will pay you. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays, it's paid. And if you do this, everyone has to know, especially the Risha Eilam, the great wicked of the people. If you do what's not right in the eyes of Hashem, every act will be paid. And on this, Shlem HaMelech said, Smach Bocha B'Yaldusecha. Rejoice, especially in your youth when your life is ahead of you. Because your life is your making. Yesh lokeach lasos. It's in your hands to do with your life what you want. Davido shall call dove yove b'mishpah. Because everything that will be done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge. He will judge you to the right or to the left. This is very, very important, especially now that this week is Rosh Chodesh Elul, Shabbos and Sunday is Rosh Chodesh Elul. We come to the time of the Yom HaMishpat, to the days of judgment. This is a very, very important principle for all of us. And we should be zeicher to do the mitzvahs of Hashem and to be zeicher to His brachos.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.